And thus concludes another installment of the Alan Watts Radio Series here on WMNF. We'll have another edition for you next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Meanwhile, it's nearing 11:30, time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM. WMNF Tampa, I'm Duncan Strauss. Really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals. Kicking off the show as usual with an animal tune. This is the Chieftains with their version of Tennessee Stud here on WMNF.
Drifting on down to no man's land and across that river called the Rio Grande. I raced my horse with Spaniards full till I got me a skin full of silver and gold. Oh, the Tennessee Stud was long and lean, the color of his sun and his eyes were green. We had the nerve and he had the blood, but the name was a horse like a Tennessee Stud. Tennessee Stud was a long and lean, the color of the sun and his eyes were green. He had the nerve, he had the blood, but there never was a horse like a Tennessee Stud.
This is the Chieftains with their version of Tennessee Stud, a vintage animal song. As we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa and streaming live via the station's wonderful new website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources. We're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We're also aiming for a spirited balance of those elements. As you can readily glean, if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, including our initial programs on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world, or notable folks from other fields who have legitimate ties to animal welfare. Today's edition very much extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Ray Leanne Smith, who works for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, as a full-time circus specialist. Of course, she has tremendous expertise about Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, three units of which are holding forth in the coming weeks in various parts of Florida, including Lakeland, Sarasota, Miami, Orlando, and just completed stints in Tampa and West Palm Beach, as well as other circuses that use animals. She'll likely address the cruelty routinely visited upon circus animals, documented anew in recent months by Ringling whistleblowers and fresh video footage. Find out much more about Ringling and other circuses that use, and almost by definition, abuse animals, when Ray Leanne Smith joins us in a moment here on Talking Animals. We'll also welcome your questions and comments for her at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Want to sure to work in at least one piece of animal news and announcements for today, especially because we've got a big dog show in our very backyard coming up, actually for two weekends, January 13th through 16th, and then again January 18th through 21. It's put on by kennel clubs from Clearwater, Inverness, Pasco, and Tampa Bay. It's called the Florida Classic Clusters, and it features American Kennel Club all-breed dog shows, obedience trials, rally trials, and free tours to learn all about AKC dog shows. Visitors can go behind the scenes, learn how a dog is judged, meet dog handlers, and more. Again, it's those days I mentioned. It's pretty much all day, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's at Florida Classic Park, and it's free to get in. You might have to pay a little something to park, depending on where you park, but that's about it. And it's people from all over the world come to compete. I think there were about 18,000 entries last year, and some of these competitors go on to the Westminster Dog Show that you often hear about or see on television. So there's also going to be pet rescues with showcasing adoptable dogs, and pet owners are, can actually bring their pets to the Doggy Fun Zone, a multi-dimensional lure course, and that doesn't require any experience. So anyways, it's all kinds of stuff for everybody if you care at all about dogs or even animals generally. So you can get more info if you need it by calling 813-217-1395 or visit floridaclassicpark.com. All right, I think it's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is something kind of classic from Stephen Wright, part of a piece called Dog Stay, speaking of dog shows, on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
Recently, I was walking my dog around my building on the ledge. A lot of people are afraid of heights, not me. I'm afraid of widths. I have a 3-year-old dog and named him Stay. He's a lot of fun when he's a puppy because when I call him, I would say, come here, Stay. And he would go. He's a lot smarter than that now. Now when I call him, he'll just ignore me and keep on typing. He's an East German Shepherd. Very, very disciplined. Last night I was in a bar and I walked up to this beautiful woman and I said, "You live around here?"
All right. Stephen Wright with a snippet of a piece called Dog Stay, taken from his album I Have a Pony. Okay, so sorry. Take it from his album, I Have a Pony. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM. WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. Fancy, gleaming new website, by the way, it is. And the show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where all our past programs are archived. There are pieces written about us, pieces we've written, and more, including a calendar of pet events taking place in and around Tampa. A place to sign up for our email list, so we'll keep you posted on forthcoming guests and more. And relevant to today's conversation, an essay we wrote all about ringling and circus animals and why people should steer clear. That's all on TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to welcome today's guest, Raylan Smith. So let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I touched on a few moments ago, she works for PETA as a full-time circus specialist. So, of course, she's deeply knowledgeable about Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, three units of which are holding forth in the coming weeks in various parts of Florida, including Lakeland, Sarasota, Miami, and Orlando, and they just completed engagements in Tampa and West Palm Beach. I also hope to discuss Ringling's shrewdness in aligning itself with the media outlets and the perhaps none-too-coincidental lack of cautionary tales reported by those entities. Anyway, much to talk about, including Raylan's pre-PETA background. She holds an MBA from DePaul University and left behind a major job at Morgan Stanley to do this work. So with a quick reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Raylan Smith to Talking Animals. Are you there, Raylan?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. Let me just start right off by kind of assuming the role of the dopey devil's advocate, if you will.
Sure.
You know, basically, what's wrong with going to the Ringling Brothers Circus? I mean, isn't it as American as apple pie?
Well, I think we've already learned in this country that just because something is a tradition doesn't mean it's ethical or moral or something that we should be taking part in. Animals in Ringling Brothers Circus and any circus that uses animals are subjected to a life of extreme confinement. Elephants live the majority of their lives on chains. Tigers spend their lives in cramped cages. They'll never lie on, you know, fresh grass. They'll never climb a tree. They'll never swim in a pond. And we just think that in the 21st century, this is a tradition that should go away.
And why do you think the points that you just made eludes people? I mean, and it's not just dopey people, like I guess I was sort of briefly trying to portray there, but I mean, folks who are pretty bright and educated and otherwise enlightened don't seem to kind of, at least in large numbers, recognize this. Why do you think that is?
Well, I actually think that as they, you know, as they learn more about the animals, they do start to question it. Ringling Brothers is a very old company with a lot of advertising dollars, mm-hmm. and they spend a massive amount of money. I think the figure I heard was $25 million on advertising alone. And the effort that they go to hide the truth from the public is something that we can only combat by trying to get video footage into people's hands, talking to circus goers as they're entering the show. So we have a very, you know, small window to sort of undo all of the brainwashing that Ringling has spent years sort of in, you know, embedding in people's psyche.
Right.
But we are making progress, and we certainly are every day hearing from people who have learned about the abuse that goes on behind the scenes and are shunning circuses with animals. Just in November, I spent a month in Chicago handing out leaflets to circus goers, talking about the video footage that we obtained in 2006. And people are shocked and horrified to learn the truth. People don't want to be cruel to animals. And when they realize that spending money on a circus ticket is helping perpetuate that cycle of animal abuse, they don't want to be a part of it.
And so you find that people, when you approach in that manner, are receptive to what you're saying and whatever kind of material you might be handing them.
You know, more often than not, absolutely they are. The majority of people, again, are kind people. These are people who probably have cats and dogs. They're probably going to the circus because they, quote-unquote, love animals. So then when they start to think about the fact that an elephant, the world's largest land mammal, who in the wild would spend, you know, up to 18 hours a day in constant motion, walking up to 30 miles a day, female elephants spend their entire lives with their mothers, when they start thinking about these animals as individuals, and then they take that picture of the animal in their natural habitat and, you know, juxtapose it to what they're looking at in the circus, they are shocked and they are horrified, and it's like flipping a light switch.
Mm-hmm.
They get it.
Okay, cool. Well, there's a few things you said just there that I want to come back to, but we already have quite a few calls, and maybe we'll just take at least one of those now, if that's okay, Raylene.
Sure.
Okay. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Raylene Smith. Go
Is
ahead.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Hi.
My
name's Gail, and right now I'm in Pinellas Park cleaning my stall for my horse.
Okay.
And most of my animals have been rescue animals my whole life. But I have a little insight on the circus, and basically I agree with what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
but I think because I was, I wasn't in, you know, I never worked for him or anything, but my ex-husband used to do this. So I met a lot of these people and saw a lot of it. And,
these people,
know, honest,
these people, Gail,
circus
sorry.
People,
these,
circus people.
Okay, I just want to be clear.
Circus
okay.
people.
Okay.
And, you know, you think, you know, in the year 2000, that people are enlightened. Well, part of the problem is that you have a group of people that travel for a living. Most of their children don't go to a regular school, and they never integrate into the type of life that we have. And I understand completely where your guest is coming from,
mm-hmm.
and probably 90% of it I agree with. But I really think that it is a communication issue. I know that for myself, when I first really started to get into horses, just by chance I got into saddle seat and saddle seat showing. And now I do a natural form of horsemanship, which, you know, is just wonderful. And I did learn really, really good things in saddle seat, because good horsemanship is good horsemanship. But you know what? There were some terrible things I did, because that's what the person who was teaching me taught me to do, and what they were taught, what their parents were taught, and so on and so forth. You really have this integrated into circus life.
Yeah.
They don't even see people like us. You know, we are complete outsiders.
Sure.
So, I mean, I understand the vehemence, and I understand all of that. But I think of myself going from saddle seat to natural horsemanship, how I'd always had, you know, like an inkling, like, I did the show thing. But you know what? Most horses really don't like to go in a show ring.
Okay, Gail, I'm sorry. Yeah. We're gonna. I appreciate your point.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for calling.
It's a matter of communication and re-teaching these people, and they love their animals.
Right.
They just don't know any better.
Okay. Well, thanks for your point of view. I appreciate the call. And Raylene, I'm gonna offer you a chance, of course, to respond to that. I mean, I guess my thought on that is that it's a slight version of apples and oranges here, because I think what we might be talking about is on a larger level, corporate level even, in terms of wrangling and similar operations. I don't know that we're necessarily aiming our concern at the people who travel in the circus per se, but I mean, this, you know, you're the circus specialist, you should probably field this one.
Well, I think Gail brought up some really great points,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just tell you what we learned recently. We've had a number of whistleblowers. These are employees who worked with Ringling's Red Unit,
right,
come forward. We just met with them over the summer, and one of them in particular talks about how much she loved animals and why she left her higher paying job to join the circus. She grew up around horses her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got to the circus, instead of learning more about the animals, she was shocked and horrified to find out that all of the horses were completely head shy. And horses are one of the most commonly used animals in the circus, but they receive the least protection because they're not covered by the Federal Animal Welfare Act. But the whistleblowers who worked on the animal care unit talked about horses who are grabbed by the throat and shoved, jabbed with pitchforks, given lip twists, which is a sadistic way to inflict pain on one of the most sensitive areas of a horse's body.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, this is not how an animal lover would treat a horse. And this is what we hear goes on every day at Ringling Brothers Circus.
And isn't that partly, at least, Raylene, that people who are hired in that way are sort of instructed by, you know, people who have been there longer or just sort of in supervising kind of roles. I mean, that's sort of the way it's done, right?
Right. I mean, that's what we're hearing. We're hearing that the culture is that they hire inexperienced people, oftentimes even pick people up from homeless shelters and put them on the animal crew, you know, working with the animals right away with no experience. So they're taught how to interact and treat animals by watching trainers who Ringling hires and, you know, applauds. We don't understand why Ringling Brothers Circus would continue to employ people like Sasha Hook, the head animal trainer on the Red Unit, or Troy Metzler, the head elephant trainer on the Blue Unit. These people have been time and time again caught on tape aggressively using the bullhook on elephants. In fact, Sasha Hook was caught in Austin, Texas this summer, inflicting a bloody bullhook wound behind an elephant's ear.
Yeah, and in fact, there's footage that's readily available, unfortunately or fortunately, to document that. And I guess we should maybe mention,
sure,
at this point, among other places that people can, you know, if they're either concerned about finding out more or even dubious about what's being said, circuses.com is one website to get a lot of this kind of information. And if you, you know, have the stomach for it, you can see some of the footage that Raylene's referring to. I just want to let people know this is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're speaking with Raylene Smith, circus specialist for PETA. You can join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us a question or comment at dj@wmnf.com. In fact, we do have another caller who's been holding for a while. Let's take that, Raylene, if we can.
Sure.
Hi, you're on WMNF with Raylene Smith.
Hi. I just would like to say that I am in total agreement with, just as a person who went to the circus on Thursday night because my son is a good student, little second grader at Woodland Elementary in Zephyr Hills. And we went, and I really was appalled at what I felt was the somberness of the animals. I really felt that they were all stressed. In fact, I had remarked to my little son how it seemed that, like, the one tiger was at any moment to take down the train, you know, the man in the middle, which, to be honest with you, I was kind of looking for that side, you know, because they all of the animals seemed very much stressed and under duress. And I really applaud you, and I hope that you go further with this. And I agree with you. We're really too far past that in this day and age to have these animals experiencing such horrible, you know, experience. I have claustrophobia, and I'm only 5 feet tall, and I looked at those poor elephants and just couldn't help but scream for them. So I applaud you with your work.
And let me ask you one other kind of maybe the $64,000 question. Do you see yourself returning to Ringling or any other circus that uses animals based on your experience and what you just described?
Really, as I say, I didn't really spend the money, and it mm-hmm. was for my little son to
right.
do it for his in honor that
yeah.
he won the tickets. But
right.
Everyone that I speak to, I am telling them about my experience. And I am not, you know, I don't work. I'm a senior at University of South Florida, and I'm a mother of five, and I love animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that I have a natural affinity for kind of anything that comes my way as far as animals. But I really, really, really sensed a terrible sadness inside of them. So
yeah.
I, you know, like I say, I applaud you and, you know, keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll get to get these guys free someday.
Great. Thank you very much for the call. Raylene, let me just sort of briefly ask, you know, I mean, there's so many topics I'm hoping to cover, including relevant legislation. I'm sure we'll try to get to at least some of that, and other circuses even that use animals. But to put a little more of this in context and some of the other comments that you made, let's just find out a little bit about you. I mean, you don't really go to school to become a circus specialist, I'm fairly certain. And in fact, you have an MBA and we're on a very different career path. Maybe you could just sort of briefly outline that for us.
Well, I think I'm your average American. I grew up in Kansas. I ate meat and went to the rodeo and did sort of the things that you just accept. However, I also grew up in a family with tons of animals. We had dogs and cats my entire life. My mother used to, you know, at the time, drag me around the town to help the animals that spent, you know, the dogs that would spend 24/7 outside on chains. We would have to unwind their chains and fill up their water bowls if it was frozen or they couldn't reach it. And it just sort of imparted in me a sense of compassion and kindness for other beings who, you know, get thirsty and hungry just like you and I do, and get hot and get cold. And it really grew from there.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly didn't expect at 18 that I would be doing this full time, but I can't imagine anything more fulfilling than taking your passion and feeling like you're spending, you know, your work hours, hopefully making positive change. Animals suffer in countless ways every day, and what I hope to do is just encourage people to broaden their circle of compassion to include other beings who, like us, suffer, whether that means adopting a vegetarian meal once a week, shunning the circus, Ringling Brothers, don't go to the circus, you know, choosing cruelty-free consumer products, or not wearing fur or leather.
Mm-hmm.
There's dozens of ways every day that you can choose kindness over cruelty.
Yeah, I think that's so important, because I think some people who you know, maybe hearing some of this but haven't necessarily embraced it, think that it has to involve sweeping changes in your life, or that you can't do anything. And I love the way you just put it, that it could be, you know, a vegetarian meal here, a small act there, and you can sort of tiptoe into it. And I just think that's a really important point. Another important point, though, really, is that you obviously feel very passionate in this direction, because if I'm not mistaken, you had a career. You had launched a career at Morgan Stanley, I believe, and left that to go to work for PETA, right? And
I realized very early on that what money was not what was going to make me feel happy
mm-hmm.
or satisfied at the end of a work day. And I would leave my job at Morgan Stanley, and I would come home, and I would get on PETA's website, and I would look at all of the fur animals that, you know, the investigation that they broke this year, and what they were finding, animals who had broken legs or whose cage mate had chewed off their leg and were being left there to suffer with no veterinary care. And I just, you know, I thought, you know what, I can't just sit here and watch this anymore. I have to be active.
Yeah.
And I think that's so wonderful about us as you know, educated human beings. We can make decisions every day to hopefully change the current status for the better.
Absolutely. Well, we have a bunch of calls holding. Unfortunately, we're just nearing the end of our time. I'm going to try to take at least one more, and we'll just see if we can go from there. Hi, you're on WMNF with Raylan Smith. I'm sorry.
Hey, good afternoon. I appreciate being the last caller, at least one of the last callers.
Absolutely. What's your question for Raylan?
Well, not a question, but a comment.
Okay, please.
You know, listening to the conversation, and I was reflecting back to when I was a kid and, you know, going to the circus the first time. And I was under, you know, I had, you know, your children have, you know, a different perception on life. And one of the things that I came away with is that, you know, these animals had a job. You know, how fantastic it is for this elephant to work at the circus, you know, that kind of stuff. He's working side by side with these trainers or coaches. And, of course, that's not true. So one of the things that I'm sure children that go to the circus for the first time, like the lady that called earlier, I'm sure when she took her student to the circus, you know, that kid probably came away with that same perception. It's like, you know, it's fantastic. You know, these are special animals that are privileged and working for the circus, when the reality is far from it. You know, so that's one of the things in terms of, you know, trying to combat the false perception that Ringling Brothers puts out there with their, you know, millions of dollars in advertisement. This is just one angle of combating that. And just presenting the truth to people. You know, another thing is, I'm surprised that a lot of the animal channels on cable TV don't cover this. You know, you have Steve Irwin, you know, rest in peace, and everyone else that's out there doing a great job in bringing animal awareness to the general public. But they skirt away. They don't even touch, you know, the realities that go on in certain various circuses.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a very good point, and that may be one of our final words, although just as you were saying that, an email came in that said, years ago, right here in St. Pete, a lion finally had its fill of the circus conditions and turned on and killed its trainer. So a circus employee got a gun and killed the lion. End of story. No investigation as to what led the lion, after years of performing, to, quote-unquote, suddenly turn on its trainer. So, Perhaps just given that where we are, and we're actually a little bit over our time, we may just have to leave it there. But Raylan Smith, thank you so much for joining us. The website, at least one of them, is circuses.com. Any other website or any other info that we can offer our listeners to find out more? And
They should just check out PETA.org for information on how they can incorporate kindness into their lives.
Great. Great, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals, and thanks for all your great work. And I'm sorry we didn't get to cover more of the things, including some of your great work on legislation, and we'll hopefully have you on again where we can cover that.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Raylan.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Raylan Smith from PETA. Thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you are listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email list. Check out our archive shows and calendar of Tampa pet events. Make suggestions for featured guests or topics. Check out written pieces, including a very relevant essay about circus animals and wrangling that I just wrote, that's just up on the website as of a couple days ago, and more. So that's talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. I think you know how the game is played. This is Name That Tune, but it's an animal song. And the winner will get a pair of tickets to see Bobby Slayton at Side Splitters next weekend. Actually, he's holding for January 18th through 21st, Thursday through Sunday. Fantastic veteran comedian and actor. And how about this tie to Talking Animals? His handle is the Pit Bull of comedy. So a pair of tickets to the first person who calls in and correctly identifies this animal tune. Let's name that animal tune on WMNF.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow.
Okay, you're first. Can you name that animal tune?
Yeah, it's Werewolves of London, Warren Zevon.
All right, stay on hold. What's your name?
My name is Bo Smith.
Bo, okay. Stay on hold. Just want to make sure we have your name so there's no confusion as to who won because the phones are totally lit up. But it's you, Bo, so I'm going to put you on hold and get your info after the show's over. Thanks for listening. Congratulations on winning Name That Animal Tune.
Thank you.
Okay, we just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Their program airs monthly, specifically the second Wednesday of each month. So we'll be back February 14th and hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net, and send any show-related email to talkinganimals@AOL.com. My thanks to Randy Wynn for inviting me to sit in with him this morning for a whole show devoted to animal songs. You can check that out on our fantastic-looking new website, WMNF.org. I'm Duncan Strauss. And thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Meanwhile, please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! We'll return with another edition of Talking Animals, February 14th on WMNF Tampa. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song. Nod to today's conversation and our pachyderm pals. This is Adrian Belew with a piece called Elephants right here on WMNF Tampa.
Exterminated, they're erratic.